Blog Talk Radio.
Wondering how, but now declaring by my spirit. the things that I've planned and the things that I've purposed, saith the Lord, they shall surely come to pass. And now is the time, and this is the day, and by my Spirit I'm making the way. And by my Spirit you'll begin to rejoice, and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, you, Jesus. Yes, you, Yeshua. Yes, you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, mighty, mighty Lord. Mighty Yeshua. Mighty Jehoshua. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Praise your mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. Amen. Shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, Brother LV Zapata, waiting for the last trumpet to be sound. My brother and sister, the last trumpet. Hallelujah. The reunion with the Lord in the cloud, meeting the Lord in the air very soon. Hallelujah. After the 3 days of darkness, with the bride is changed, the bride is transformed into a glorious body, glorified body. Thank you, Lord. Like angel body, heavenly body, like Christ body, spiritual body. Very, very soon, this is about to happen. Praise the Lord, and we have to be ready for this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Of course, it's in God, all is in God's timing. But one thing I said to someone yesterday, Father said that this is it. It's over. Father said it's over. And then when God says so, the things happen. And so God has said it's over. And this is the word we need to take. And you can take it into prayer, into fasting and prayer with God. You can ask God yourself. You can seek from God. Is it over? And you are going to get a big yes from him. That's what you're going to get, a big yes. My brother and sister, it is over. It is over. It is over. The bride of Christ is practically in heaven. Jesus is right now awaiting Father's order. Okay? The angels are waiting Father's order. Hallelujah. Go and get my children. Go and get your bride. My brother and sister, the midnight hour is now. Okay? There's not a later hour than where we are today. This is the late hour for the bride to be going home, my brother and sister. Amen. So say goodbye to your earthly family, because if you're going home in the rapture, they're not going to see you anymore for 7 years. Okay? Now, I was taken to the millennium yesterday morning, which that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight, my brother and sister, by Jesus. And it was very exciting to be there. And there were things I noticed while I was there, that which I had noticed before, but this time with more insight, closer look of things, the new earth, my brother and sister, my Lord, my God, I tell you, hallelujah, nothing gave me more joy and more peace, my brother and sister, than being there and seeing God answering my prayer for my lost, vaccinated family. seeing them there in the new body, nothing gave me more joy. It is my prayer day and night for them that God will save them. I have not hesitated. I have not stopped. But it's been nonstop, as the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Never stop praying in a more modern translation. And I will advise you the same. Okay? It don't matter if they got the by singing 20 booster. Because the prayer of the righteous cannot be stopped by anybody singing any booster. Avail it much. And if God were to say, well, the prayer of the righteous has this limitation. Okay, you can only pray so much and then forget about it. Then you can use that as a justification. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't tell you, oh, no, you cannot pray for them because they're already vaccinated. Their souls in hell and demons are working on them to make sure they stay in hell. No. Okay? This is the exciting thing the Lord given me yesterday morning in the millennium, which I wish it was longer than what he given me. But it's what I ask, is what I pray for. He answered me. He's a good God. He's a great God. But it's showing me the prayer, my prayer being answered. And seeing my family who are now vaccinated, my brother and sister in the lower part of hell, on the upper part of hell, in the lower part of the earth. It was heartbroken when I saw them in hell. But it was rejoicing yesterday morning when I saw them in the millennium. And tonight, I want to remind you of God's promise. That God is not a man that he will lie. Not the son of man that he will repent. His promise are true. Amen. And you and I can always go into the Bible, my brother and sister, and look up his promise. And see his faithfulness, my brother and sister. Because as he was faithful to his prophet, his servant, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, he cannot be unfaithful to us, you see, because they were men like us. Of course, they were elected. They were selected by God, my brother and sister. And so are we. Every time people get a mouthful of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to me, it's like they forget who called them to serve him like he called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My brother insisted. So don't disregard who you are in God, my brother insisted. But remember him that called you and I to serve him, my brother insisted. And that we find ourselves in similar situation like they, being tempted, going to trials and tribulation, seeking to be in obedience with him. To him, day and night. And they came short so many times, so are we. My brother and sister, they're not better than us, and we neither are better than they. And they serve God wholeheartedly, and God is calling us to do the same. My brother and sister, God has not taken for granted none of the trial, temptation, and tribulation that you and I are going through. Because if he was, we will not gotten this far. We will not be where we are today. We are where we are today because God Almighty is helping us. It's fighting for us. It's keeping us. It's protecting us. Hallelujah. And he has angels camping around you and I, day and night. We're ordered to protect us. That's his promise in Psalm 91. That he will send his angels to camp around us, to keep us, to protect us, deliver us. Hallelujah. For anything that will make us fall, stones are things that will make you and I fall. If you had to travel like they did in the old days, on foot, and had to travel through stone, like the children of Israel, you will fall. But the angel of the Lord are there to keep us from falling. The easy way to you and I to fall is to walk through stone. But God is so merciful and good that knows stones is significant of all the troubles and hindrances and tribulation that you and I would encounter. But God is so faithful that he said he will send his angel to a camp around them, my brother and sister. And they are accompanied. They are with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And when God says 1,000 shall fall on thy side, and 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And the God knew, my brother and sister, that in the last days, or during our walk with him, my brother and sister, we would have thousands of people living around us, and there will be thousands falling beside us through sickness, virus, my brother and sister, plague, hallelujah, word, people being killed, being shut up. If you're serving the Lord, you will see thousands falling by your side. But here is the promise you can take to the bank. You can go to God Almighty and say, wait a minute. My neighbor has been killed. My neighbors have fallen. Am I going to fall too, O Lord? Because you say in the word, 1,000 shall fall by thy side, 10,000 by the right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. It will not come close to you. Thank you, Lord. And God will look at you from heaven and say, amen. That's my word. That's my promise to you. You can go to sleep meditating on my words because my promise I keep. Why is God calling you and I into repenting is because God keeps his promise, but not God expects you to do something. Salvation, yes, it is a free gift from God. But what about your part to seek holiness and righteousness? He says, be thou holy. It's something that you must seek every day after holiness and righteousness. And God will work that in you. Christ will work that in you. He was found by those that were seeking him. Now, as you seek the Lord, Jesus come close to you. He says, come close to me, and I will come close to you. He's faithful. And when you come close to the Lord and the Lord come close to you, what do you think happened? His righteousness, his holiness in your life will make you holy and righteous. It is the righteousness of Jesus in you, the holiness of Jesus, his cleansing, because the Bible says he is like soap. He is a cleansing fire. And he will remove from you and I whatever is not of him, whatever is not pleasing to him. Because he wants us to be holy and righteous as he is. Because he is going to marry a holy and righteous bride. I thank you, Jesus. That's who he's going to marry. And a few weeks ago, a month ago, I saw the bride of Christ in heaven. I was in the third heaven. The bride of Christ was right in front of me. And hallelujah. She was looking. Her eyes were piercing on Jesus. And Jesus was on my right. He's always on the right. Thank you, God, for Jesus. His eye was piercing on her. I was trying to get the Lord's attention to look at me as I was there. But his eyes were piercing on his bride. And I approached his bride very close, my brother and sister. And he was piercing looking at her. My brother and sister, I knew for a few seconds that he could see me. But what he wanted to show me was how holy, how pure his bride is. She looks so beautiful. So, so beautiful. She had a white dress ready for her wedding. From her neck down, covered completely. This dress was so white. White, pure. And when I looked at her face and skin, it looks pure. My brother and sister, then now it's because of a glorified body. Because she's going to get a glorified body. Thank you, Lord. And I'm looking at her dress, the adorn on her dress, and everything about her, Jesus is just in love with her. He loves her so much. And he's looking forward to marrying her. He desired with all his heart to marry her. But she also desired to marry him. She has no eyes for no other but to her bridegroom. Hallelujah. Husband to be. I thank you, Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things to see and look at. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, one thing God says that we will see with our eyes, verse 8. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold, see. Behold and see, look upon and see the reward of the wicked. The wicked, the evil ones, cannot go unpunished. And that's one thing you and I are going to see. You see, I wanted to be fishing in the white throne in judgment. But the Lord said I've been chosen to be there. My brothers, I wanted to be with my children in the open sea in heaven, just fishing and enjoying the view, seeing all the beautiful fish. But the Lord says, no, I must be as a white throne judgment. Okay, Lord. We never say no to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister. He says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, says David, even the Most High, your habitation. How many of you have made the Lord your habitation? My brother and sister, because you have to make it. You have made the Lord your habitation, your refuge. It is you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Yeshua. You have to take that step. Hallelujah. To come to God and believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that daily seek him. Daily seek him. My brother and sister, because you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, your habitation, thy habitation. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. There shall no evil befall thee, and shall no plague come thy dwelling. You know, I was getting allergy. I get seasonal allergy once in a while. And I'm used to for years praying it away. It'll go away. It's seasonal. And I was telling my mom on the phone earlier that I've been having the allergy, it's been hurting my throat. And I said to my mom, it's been hurting my throat. I don't know. She said, I've been getting the same. She was telling me, don't you believe you have the virus? I'm like, See, that's the thing. I don't believe I have the virus. But you may say, it may be the virus. I don't believe it is. I believe it isn't. My brother and sister, I believe the Lord heals me. So I believe it isn't. See, I cannot believe it is. I cannot believe it is. And you should not believe it is neither. And the moment you believe it is, you'll receive it. So I don't want to receive it, so I cannot believe it is. That's a different. That is a different. But I know also that they're putting virus in the water, in the food, almost in everything, to try to get people contaminated. So we may get a headache, even fever, here and there once in a while. But you stand that by his stripe, by his wound, we are healed. So the first action is for us to pray. Don't believe it is, even if you see the sign, and pray. Because I tell people laughing about this. Listen, we used to get seasonal allergy years ago. Cold here once in a while. And all these years, for 30 years this year, they've been going away. So what is the difference? How come God has kept me healed most of my life? Why do now I need to receive that I got a virus? My brother and sister, have anything changed about him and his promise? No. If anything changes us, anything changes us, but not him. Hallelujah. He is faithful forever. My brother and sister, the question is, are we believing him? Are we walking by faith and not by sight? The Bible says, My brother and sister, when the disciples have problem with faith, when they have problem, Jesus told them about their lack of faith. And he said that if you have faith as a sign of a mustard seed, you will speak to the mountain, be thrown into the sea, and it will obey, he says. It will obey. And he showed them, he did not only speak to them about this great faith, but when he was teaching, there was about 5,000 people hungry. And he looked to his disciple and said, feed them. And his disciple immediately started thinking, where are we going to get so much food for these people? My brother and sister, where? Okay? Because they know they were far from the city. And to walk to the city and be able to bring food for 5,000 people, it takes a lot. And he knew, Peter, Matthew, and them, they knew, my brother and sister, that 12 disciples will not be able to carry food for 5,000 people from the city. And then the money, how much this was going to cost. So it was a money problem. They could not carry the food neither. My brother and sister, and Jesus was never going to send them to the city to go get the food because Jesus believed God. Jesus is God. And he knew that Father has sent them in representation of him because him and Father are one, my brother and sister, to do these miracles. And in God's timing, Jesus was waiting. And this was the time, this was the season, this was the moment where God was going to get the glory. Thank you, Jesus, my brother and sister. So, them, he said. And the disciple, they are thinking, like we scratching our head, where are we going to get so much food for these people? Praise the Lord. He says, what do you have? Hallelujah. 2 fish and 3 pieces of bread. Give it to me. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It is the little you have that God multiplies when you have faith. See, it is the other way around. You think you need to have all this great amount. And God looks at the little you have. And God says, with what you have now, I can feed 5,000 people as I can feed 5 million, as I can feed 5 billion. If you only have the faith, my child. God will do so. So he's asking you not to look all the things you need to have for the miracle, but the little that you have that God can take and multiply and feed so many people. Praise you, Jesus. You probably just have a piece of fish in your fridge for the week for you to cook. And God is sending you to do this, do that, and you're thinking, I just got a piece of fish in my fridge and a little bit of vegetable, a little bit of rice, a little bit of beans. This is not enough. You know, I don't even know if I have beans. And you're thinking of what you had, and God say, you have enough, my child. You have enough. Okay? You have enough. What you have, is if you only believe me, I can take, I can multiply, and it will be endless the amount of people I can feed with what you have. Praise you, Jesus. God wants you to come to him and believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that daily seek him. He wants to reward you when you come to him with great faith. But when was the last time you were honest with God? And you say, God, I'm sorry, but I don't have it. And you got on your knees and you cry out to him. You say, God, you call me to do ministry. You call me to feed the homeless, the hungry, God. I am so sorry, but I don't have the faith. Listen, you're not saying you don't have the food. You have a little food already. When was the last time you told God you didn't have the faith? And that you cry out, you say, please give me the faith, Father. Give me the faith I need that I may pray. And you can feed all these people, oh Lord. Lord, please, please. Because we have a problem in our lives. And the problem is that we don't have the faith. We have the food, but we don't have the faith. You see,
Your problem isn't that you don't have the food. No, you have a little food. How do you eat every day? Are you honestly going to tell me you don't eat every day? How do you eat every day? You have a little food, like the disciple. The only thing missing in you is the faith that God can give to you if you only ask. If you only ask. My brother and sister, what did Jesus say? Hallelujah. In Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given to you. But you notice that before you ask, before it's given to you, you gotta recognize you don't have it. You don't have it. You don't have it. I'm sorry, God, for walking around without the faith where I can pray you can feed all these people, oh Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise to God. I said, you know, I'm going to buy a few can of food and have it in my car. So when I drive around and I see the homeless, I can give them one. And I went and did that. And when I went back to the store, hallelujah, I was talking to one of the store worker and tell him what I was buying the can for. And he said, excellent. That's what you should be doing. Praise the Lord. Praise to God. And I said, can you help me get some more? Yes, I can. Praise the Lord. And went and helped me get some more. Praise the Lord. It went from a little and more and more. The moment you saw your seed, hallelujah, there is a harvest coming when you saw your seed. The problem is that some of you want to see the large amount coming in to give to all these people. And God said, you already have enough. All you need is the faith. It's what God's saying to us. This is where, hallelujah, this is where we struggle. Because in order for you and I to say, hallelujah, I'm going to feed all these people, I'm going to do all this work, you have to have the faith. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith without work is dead. Praise you, Lord. In other words, God gives you the faith and then you go do the work. You got to have it. You got to have it. Imagine if we go do the work without faith. A lot of people do that. They do the work without faith. And when they run out and they have no more money, they tell people, listen, if you don't provide me, if you don't send me money, I'm going to have to close my ministry. And then people, especially when things are hard, oh, I'm sorry, we cannot send you anything. Well, I'm going to have to close down my ministry. And they close down the ministry. And then they're complaining. See? And then they say, if God would have provided me, I could have just gotten so far. I would have been on doing this for years, they say. You were looking to God for the provision, but you were not looking to God to give you the faith. What about the faith? My brother and sister, what about the faith? Do you ask God for the faith? Hallelujah. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that daily seek him. You know what the reward is? His provision. Yes, he rewards you here in heaven. His reward down here, I heard someone saying on the show, it's supernatural. God wants to reward you down here. In other words, he wants to give you what you need to do what he's sending you to do. So when you go out that door and you believe God will provide you, he will make sure you'll be getting what you need to go do what he's sending you to do. My brother and sister. But how can you go do what he's sending you to do with a lack of faith? Having no faith. The Apostle Paul, my brother and sister, congratulated the Thessalonians for their growing in faith. Hallelujah. Are we growing in faith? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be. And Paul was very happy that those brothers and sisters were growing in faith, because when he went to them, they had plenty for the people and they had plenty to give to the Apostle Paul in his ministry. When the Apostle Paul went back with his animal, my brother and sister, they were full of everything. All the supply he needed, they gave to him. when they were already given to the poor and the widow, the poor and everybody else. They have so much abundance. And Paul saw the kind of faith they had. My brother insisted. And then when he needed to go back to give to the other churches and the poor, when he came from Thessalonians, he had abundance. And he thanks them for growing in the faith that they were growing. My brothers, because he noticed the other churches were not growing as they were. But the Thessalonians were growing in faith tremendously. My brothers, they didn't settle. Paul gave them the teaching. They got themselves in prayer and fasting with God, asking God to increase their faith. Like the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. The Thessalonians took that word and went to God and said, God, increase our faith. And they were reaching out to the people. And the provision was there by faith always. My brother insisted. Hallelujah. Their need was being met amongst all of them. They had abundance. My brother insisted. And when Paul saw that, he was so happy that this was happening among them, that he wanted every other church to have the same level of faith. My brother insisted, but it's in our relationship with God. We have to say, I don't have it. Lord, please give it to us. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray for you to increase my faith, oh Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And when you do that, you're taking responsibility before God and say, I don't have it. Please give it to me. Please give it the faith that when I will pray, you will supply all this need. You will supply to these people. I will have enough to give to them. Praise you, Lord. And he will, my brother insisted, he will provide. Thank you, Lord. Yesterday morning in the millennium, when the Lord took me there, thank you, Lord. Let me read a couple of verses about the millennium, about the new earth. Hallelujah. There's a celebration going on in the millennium. Psalm 96, 1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. All the earth and the millennium are singing unto the Lord. They are grateful. They are very happy. My brother insisted that these things are going about. Thank you, Jesus. It's a celebration there always. Hallelujah. God promised to the prophet Isaiah 65, 17, for behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. The former should not be remembered nor come to mind. Yes. I noticed everyone there was so happy, celebrating. And they didn't remember the pain and headaches they went through back here. Life back here was forgotten. No one remember the headaches. They remember serving God, but the headaches and all the things they went through, they didn't remember it anymore. It was totally different. Hallelujah. It was celebration. Isaiah 66, 22, for the new heaven and new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed in your name remain. Two things that are going to remain there. Hallelujah. Your seed is going to remain. Your children. In your name. Also, what we remember by people. No matter where you are on the earth, people will call you by name. And when you ask, where's Brother Miguel? Oh, Brother Miguel, we know where he is. Hallelujah. Our brother in Christ. Great man of God, Brother Miguel. People will know who he is. People will remember his name everywhere. And his children, they will also be remembered. My brother and sister. Everyone will know who he is. And everyone will know who his children are also. Hallelujah. So if one of his children wander away looking at the beauty, and his brother Miguel is busy somewhere, and someone encounter his child, they'll say, this is Brother Miguel's son. And they will call him by name. His seed will remain. And so, his name also. You will be remembered by your name everywhere in the millennium. No matter where you go, thousands of miles away, everyone knows your name. Everyone knows your children's name also. Praise the Lord. And who you are in God, a great woman, a great man, you are going to be remembered there. Thank you, Lord. What an awesome God. We serve. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God, hallelujah, is giving women a privilege in the millennium. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31, 22, how long will thou go about all thy backsliding daughters? This is the present, the past. For the Lord will create new things on the earth. A woman should come past a man, my brother and sister. Remember seeing a brother saying to one of the sisters at one time, let's race. And the sister, hallelujah, was able to go faster than him. She come past him very easily. And he was stunned. And back then, praise the Lord, I knew I had read it in the Bible. And when I came back to the Bible and I read it, a woman will come past a man. Easily she was able to come past him. He could not keep up with her. She was going faster than him. Sister will get great privilege in the millennium. And they're dancing on the table for the Lord. They're celebrating. Everyone is 20, and it's just full of joy everywhere. My brother and sister. This time, as I'm walking in the millennium, I was walking to one of the main avenues. My brother and sister. I was there with my vaccinated family who will be there in the new body. My brother and sister. I can see why God's giving them a new body, because this COVID by seeing had changed their DNA. And I've been praying nonstop for them. And God wanted to show me what is going to be the outcome of their lives after he gets a hold of them to change them, because of my prayer day and night for them. And he wanted to show this to me so I will rejoice that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. He's going to answer us. My brother insisted, we don't need to worry because we're sin. We don't need to be concerned because we will sin. God wants us to trust him and walk in peace. My brother insisted, there's no worry in this. There's no concern. The only thing God wants us is to trust him. Believe his word. Believe his promise is what he wants each and one of us to do. Don't dismay. Don't think that his promises are not coming to pass. No. Believe that they are, and that you are going to see them come to pass with your own eyes. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. And I look at the soil. The soil looks to be brand spanking new. New, my brother. I knew it was new. I looked at it. I looked at the grass. It's not this ugly grass we have that people have to buy it in the store and spray it and then feed it all kinds of stuff in order to be green and all that. And they use it in the baseball play and the football stadium and all that. And no, it's much beautiful than that. And it's original. It's not fake. My brother and sister. And it's full of light. The new earth, as the Bible says. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is there. Jesus is there. My brother insisted. The Bible says that, hallelujah, that the place they are in Revelation 21, 23, the city had no need for sun, neither the moon nor should shine on it. For the glory of God gives its light, and the lamp is the light thereof. This is for the new Jerusalem. But it applies, my brother and sister, because the Lord is going to be the light there. And I knew that when I looked at the light of the new earth, there, my brother and sister, it was beautiful. Every tree I was looking at has fruit on it, my brother and sister. And that really caught my attention. I like to see trees with fruit. And I wonder why people plant a shaded tree that bear no fruit. People plant all kinds of beautiful trees. They're beautiful, but they are no fruit. Did they bear fruit in the garden? Of course they did. But men with science are not bothered to study why is it that so many trees in our day today bear no fruit. They don't even care about it. They want to go study Mars, Pluto, and all these other planets. And still studying our own earth, researching our own earth, and making sure and find out what virus, what caused the tree that bear no fruit today. Because in the garden, in the beginning, they bear fruit. And the fruit were wonderful for the nations. Everyone enjoyed the fruit. So what happened? That's what a science is supposed to be for. Not for the kind of foolishness and nonsense it's being used today. My brother and sister, there will be a lot of study in the millennium, university, colleges, in which we're going to participate. We're going to study. We're going to get degreed. What do you think we're going to use it for? Not for the foolishness and nonsense that are being used today, my brother and sister. They're going to be used for the glory of God, for the help of humanity, for the blessing of humanity. Our knowledge will be used for the glory of God. Our knowledge will be used for our own earth. We're not going to concern with other galaxy, other planet, other stars. No, mother, my brother and sister. God wants us to help one another, love one another, pray for one another. It's about helping your brothers and sisters that he wants. He doesn't want you, hallelujah, going to college, going to university, getting a degree for you to study of the other beings in other planet, nonsense and foolishness. God wants you to help your fellow men. God wants us to help one another. My brother and sister, in the millennium will be like that. We will help one another. Thank you, Jesus. And whatever, really, there will be no need. God is providing anything. But then you go to college and you study, you learn. And all the knowledge is used wisely. No one uses their knowledge for foolish things like in this earth. All the knowledge is being used for the glory of God, for the help and benefit of your fellow brothers and sisters. It's awesome. It's awesome. The millennium, hallelujah, Christ is the law of the land. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords in the millennium in Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, everyone at the corner of the earth will obey him and do what he says. He will have his own police there. They will police everyone. No sin of adultery will be allowed, or prostitution, or alcohol, or anything. In the moment, anyone, and people are going to make these things later on. But my brother and sister, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. These things are not allowed. They're against the law of the land. This is against the Lord. And they will be punished severely also. His police, my brother and sister, will make sure, and they are very knowledgeable from the knowledge of God. And the moment someone is making alcohol, doing something they're not supposed to, they'll be there. And they'll tell you this is not allowed. Not allowed. Hallelujah. That the Lord will not allow this. And there's a punishment for this. My brother and sister. Praise the Lord. Will there be prison in the millennium? Yes, there will be prison in the millennium. Will there be people taken to jail? Yes, there will be people taken to jail later on. In the beginning, it doesn't seem this way. But as years goes by, everything changes. And when people become so disobedient, hallelujah, amen. Yes, Lord, do a miracle on my brother Toyota, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus, do a miracle that will start, that will run, Lord, fix anything, Lord, that is damaged, Lord. With my brother Bielko, in Jesus' name, someone's requesting prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For my brother and sister, I was really having a wonderful time there with them and see how much we care for one another there in the millennium, yesterday morning. Spending time there gave me a great reminder of God's promise. Everything I see, everything I was going through, hallelujah, my brother and sister, thank you, Lord, it's in the Bible. Everything he says in his word, he's going to do. There will be no wicked, there will be no evil, says the Lord in my holy mountain to the prophet Isaiah. That's how the millennium is going to be. It will be pure, it will be holy. You're getting 100% pure water, pure food. Rivers are pure. My brother and sister, everything is pure. No contamination. The millennium started 1,000 years, everything being pure. Holy and righteous. No evil. My brother and sister. And everyone is rejoicing. We're celebrating. People are celebrating all kinds of feasts there. So you know, I was thinking there one night, people were celebrating a feast. Dancing for the Lord, praising God in the street. My brother and sister, this street that I was walking was very large, very wide. My brother and sister. And yes, they all have sidewalk. I noticed the sidewalk was very long. He made the earth very flat. The town's very flat. Right where we have up here a lot of mountains and a lot of he makes the earth beautiful again as it was in the beginning. And if you decide to walk anywhere, you could. The bride will be able to fly like angels and move fast like angels in the speed of thought anywhere. But there will be people coming down from the valleys and coming in from the millennium. Those that are being beheaded for Christ are coming to reign, Revelation 20, to come and reign with Christ 1,000 years. At one time I was there, and it was like hundreds of thousands and millions of people. I knew they were coming in from the valleys. At one time, they were coming in from the millennium. And another time, they were coming in from the valleys. That was surprising to me. Because I remember Brother Larry asking God about this. Are there people from the valley coming into the millennium? And he said, yes. And then he showed me. Remember, I shared with you there were over 33 billion people in the millennium at one time I saw. I knew there were 33 billion people on the earth. I don't know why 33, but I know that Jesus, that was the age when the Lord went home, when he was crucified. So that 33 is biblical, 33, my brother and sister. So it was about 33 billion people on the earth. By the time it was about 400 to 500 years into the millennium, 33 billion people, my brother and sister. And still with so many people, the earth, as the Bible said, yeah, there were people like the sand of the sea. But the earth still looked empty because people have not realized how much land we had, how much millions of acres God has given us. And you got these misleading leaders today, misleading billionaires today, but leaving in the lies that the earth is overpopulated. It's only overpopulated because you want all the riches for yourself. But if you don't mind sharing what you have with other people, there's too little people on the earth today. We have not gotten to 8 billion people yet. And the Lord is very happy with over 33 billion people on the earth during the millennium. Very, very happy. No one complains of not having enough. And most everyone you meet has abundance of everything. No one complains of not having food enough, not having clothing enough, not having a home. And if someone comes down from the valleys and don't have a home, my brother insisted, people will take them in. My brother, even if they have to construct their house, extend their house, they have no problem. Because those that are giving the tithes and offering faithfully will have abundance to construct more to their house because their property are big enough. My brother insisted. As Jesus told his disciples, feed them in the millennium, he wants us to take care of those that are coming in to have almost nothing or nothing. He, my brother and sister, the valleys is the outer court of heaven, I will call it. The place where David said, though if I go through the shadow of death, if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. My brother and sister, the valley is a real place. I've been there. The Lord took Sister Chutama's there also, and her testimony. It's a real place, and there are millions of people there. These are the people that are saved by faith, as the Bible said. My brother and sister, but we're not ready to enter paradise. Okay? It's not purgatory. The valley is biblical. Psalm 23, my brother and sister. I've been there and seen these people. They struggle, but they're saved by faith. And it's better than hell 1,000 times. Sure. These millions are coming to the millennium. My brother and sister. In the millennium, we, the bride, are going to teach them the word of God about Jesus. This is our job. This is our work for most of us. We're coming down to teach them about the Lord and his salvation's plan, what he did on the cross for them. We're going to explain to them all these things with greater details than what we do today because of a lack of brain use. We use less than 7 or 11% of our brain today. In the millennium, we'll use 100% of our brain. And we will be able to retain every single information we hear. When we count down from the seven-year wedding, we count down to the millennium. Everything we know about the Bible will come to our mind 100% in heaven. A brain we will begin to use in heaven in the wedding 100%. By the time we come down to the millennium, we're using 100% of our brain. And when we read the Bible, there will not be a single comma period that we will forget. Any verse in the Bible, we will remember every single verse and chapter of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. We will also have the revelation of the Bible that many ministers fail to have today. You got millions and thousands of churches, and the leaders know the Bible, but don't have the revelation of the Bible. When we come down from heaven in the millennium, the bride of Christ will have the total word of God revealed to them, my brother and sister. And when we come to teach the word of God in the millennium, it will be with great anointing, great power of God, my brother and sister, hallelujah, and great miracles and signs, hallelujah, display on those listening. Every word, thank you, Lord, the God, every promise in the Bible they'll see. And of course, they're looking at the earth and looking at us. Seeing everything God has done and looking at us, they don't have that beauty in their bodies. When they come down to the millennium, they see all the word of God come to pass 100% before their eyes. And they look at us, the bride of Christ, in a glorified body. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When they, I believe every minister, thank you, brother, every minister should be praying that the Lord will reveal his word to them. As the Lord began to teach me his word, this is what I began to pray years ago. Lord, reveal me your word. Help me to understand it and know it, Lord. And as he began to reveal me the word, I was stunned. Then the Lord spoke to me and said, men think that they can't know my word without my help. And you know what he says? It is impossible. I'm the one that revealed my word, he says. That he made it clear to me. Because you got a lot of people that have read the Bible maybe 1,000 times. But don't understand it. Don't have it revealed to them. Because that's the work of the Lord. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And they may have the Holy Spirit, but they don't have the revelation. He has to reveal it to them. How does that work? You got to ask the Lord to reveal his word to you. Praise the Lord. Pray and fast for that. Pray and fast. And here goes revealing it to you as he was doing it with me. Season, my brother and sister, because if you eat bread fast, you're choked. You have to eat and drink. That's the word of God. The drinking is the Holy Spirit. You eat, he reveals it to you, and the Holy Spirit will confirm it. It fills you. And then so again, you got the bread and the water. Slowly, though. If you do it too fast, you're choked. You're shocked there. Praise the Lord. A lot of people have been choking for years and said, what is this? Praise the Lord. You got to have the Lord help you with this. You got to walk with him. Remember, we're child. Little children, I write unto you, says John. That's what we are, little children. I write unto you, he says. That's exactly what we are, little children in the Lord. And he's the only one that can teach us. And none of us can pretend to know everything, neither. No. Especially using, 7 to 11% of our brain. The other part of our brain is sleeping. Hallelujah. But in heaven, we'll be awakened and we'll get to work. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The time is coming, my brother and sister. God has a day. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth, wherein the dwelleth the righteous. But we look for it, hallelujah, like something great that we need to found. We need to find, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. We're going there. I remember Jesus said to me a couple of years ago, talk to my children about the millennium, because that's where you're going. Praise the Lord. He wants you to look forward to his kingdom in the millennium. You spending time with him, you will have no need of no preacher, church of God, because you're going to meet Jesus at 5 o'clock in the morning every day in Jerusalem. You're going to get to go to him in the blink of an eye, and he'll be there with his seraphim and cherubim serving him. And you coming in there to speak with Jesus face to face, and he'll put a scroll on your hand. He'll have for your day written instruction on what you're about to do in the millennium for your days. Even if it's a 6 hour, 8 hour, 10 hour, 12 hour, I don't know. Okay? When he gives you that scroll, he said, my child, go ahead and do this for me. Okay? Understand that if you say, well, I'm not going to be doing this every day, I'm going to go to the beach, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Okay? Do your task. That's what it's called, task. Do your task. And the rest of the day, because it's not going to get dark early like it is here. Over here in the winter, 5 o'clock is dark. Not in the millennium. My brother and sister, the millennium nights, dates here are darker than the nights in the millennium practically. The millennium, the nights are very light. And if you don't need to sleep, what are you looking forward to going to bed? See, your mentality is going to change. Because in the millennium, you're not going to look to go to sleep. You're going to look for the next feast they have, because they're always having feasts. And you're going to have, you'll do your task for 6 or 8 hours. And once you finish your task, you can go spend time with your children, your family. You can go celebrate. The Lord will expect you to go to his service whenever he's going to be speaking. Jesus will be speaking to people every week. Every week, the Lord will be giving a speech somewhere. My brother and sister, in your town, in your city. You don't need to go out of your city to see the Lord and the Lord, for the Lord to be speaking in your city, in your local church, in your local congregation, in your local group. I saw Jesus doing this. I was in this town visiting in the millennium one time. And the family that I was supposed to go speak to, I had done what the Lord had sent me to do. They said to me, will you stay for our service? And I said, huh, okay. I noticed that God wanted me, I believe I asked the Lord. I believe that's what happened. So let me ask the Lord. And he said, yes, you may. But for my surprising, I didn't know that in their local church, in their local congregation, that they were coming together, Jesus was going to come on the pulpit and appear there. I didn't know this. So I said, you know, I entered the church, and I said, you know, I'm just going to stand in the back because, you know, I never been one of those who like to stand in the front where everybody's looking at you. Praise you, Lord. And so I sat in the back, and everyone's sitting in the front. I noticed people were trying to get the first seat. And, you know, I'm thinking, wow, I guess some people like to sit in the front so they can listen better, hear the service better. And there were people, when I arrived, worshiping. They were very anointed, and they were worshiping God. And then I started thinking, oh, there's going to be probably a preacher coming on. He's probably going to come on for 2 to 3 hours. Oh, no. I'm going to have to stay here and listen to this preacher for 2 or 3 hours. Who knows if I'm going to like the message? Who knows what he'll be talking about? It's like my mind was wandering, because I was thinking this. Who knows if I'm going to like the message, and if he's going to say something, you know, that's not me, I'm not into that, you know, and I started thinking this. But on the other side, it was the time for the preacher to come on. And all of a sudden, a powerful light there appeared. The light was so powerful, it was blinding. I was trying to see into the light. In other sign, the light turned into the person of Jesus. It was a falling back service. It was a falling back into the floor service. I noticed people falling back into the power of God. And I could hardly move or stand. I was so shocked and surprised. He was looking at everyone but a beautiful smile. The glory out of him radiated over the whole church. And he looked full of kindness and love and caring for every single soul. Everyone, he looked at them, he loved them the same. It don't matter if he were there Chinese, if he were black, if he were white, if he were Hispanic. It didn't matter. He looked at everyone and loved everyone the same. Oh, I thank you, Father, for Jesus. He's so awesome. He looked at everyone the same. He loved them the same. Every single person there felt loved by him. Out of him came out love and power and anointing over their lives. Oh, Father, thank you for Jesus. And every single person will be in touch by him. My brother and sister, as I see his glory there, I was wondering what he was going to share. I said, this is going to be the most wonderful service I ever been to. Jesus didn't tell me this, that he's going to be the one doing the service. He's the invited preacher there. My brother and sister, hallelujah. No more man, no more pastor, no more false teaching from the pulpit anymore. No more of that. I don't have to be concerned that they will come in there and give me false teaching and contaminate my life. I was so concerned for this stuff. No, not anymore. It was Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, what he's going to speak is truth there. It'll be so awesome to listen to him. Now I just wanted to stay for the service and listen to what Jesus has to say. Praise the Lord. Praise you, God. Oh, I thank you, Father, for Jesus. He's what we need. He is what we need. We don't need nothing else but Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is what we need. That's it. That is it. We don't need nothing else. The problem is man and their false teaching. But the solution is Jesus. He is the solution to our problem. My brother and sister. Oh, I didn't want to come out of the place. Now it's different. Before I wanted to leave. But when he showed up, I knew I just wanted to stay. I just wanted to stay. Praise the Lord. Now it's like, man, I should have stood in the front. What was I thinking? Praise the Lord. I should have been sitting in the front aisle. My brother and sister, or close to it at least. Where I would have been more powerful, impacted. But no matter where you were sitting or standing, he was impacting your life. My brother and sister, so awesome to enjoy his presence, his power. Hallelujah. It was so powerful I could not move from my seat. It's one of those services where you have to grab onto the seat, and it's just so much power, so much anointing. He's ministering to you. His power goes through your being. Praise the Lord. It like passes through you, through the sea, through everything. Nothing can stop him when he's in front of you. Praise the Lord. Like in heaven, the glory of God passes through the roof of your house. It's like your roof is not even there. Here, light is stopped by the object, by your roof, by your wall. Not in heaven. No wall, no roof can stop the power of God, the light of God. No matter what you are in heaven, no matter what home you are in, it could be made of anything. The light of God passes through like nothing. Wait until you meet your Father. Wait until you meet your Lord. Oh, you're going to praise him. Praise the Lord. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can limit him. Nothing can limit him. He's almighty. He's everywhere. His presence is just so powerful. And when you are in his presence, you don't want to come out. You mean, don't bother me. Please don't bother me. No. I'm in the presence of God, you say. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He wants to be our all, because he is our all. When he created men and women in the garden, nothing pleased Adam and Eve than being in the presence of God. When they sinned, this is what hurts so much. Because at that moment, they were separated from the presence of God. And nothing more painful. Someone said, you know what the harder things of being in hell is? Being separated from the presence of God. Because on the earth, you can feel his presence. But in hell, you cannot even feel his presence. This is the most harder and painful of all. The people know in hell that for all eternity, they'll be separated from God. That's the biggest pain they have. The most painful thing. Forget about the fire. Forget about the demon. It's being separated from God. The most painful thing people go through in hell. That's the greatest pain they have. They don't have no other greater pain than that. Everything else, they're already there. It's already there. It's part of it. But being separated from God, oh my Lord, oh my God, that is really pain. That is really painful, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. God wants to be our God and for us to be his people, my brother and sister. That's what he says when he created the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John says, and I heard, verse 3, a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, be their God. Oh, my Lord, my God. What happened when he is our God? What happened when we are one with him? This is what happened. God shall wipe away all tears. You know, you're crying for this, all that, other people. And God is there ministering to you, my child. As he ministered to Samuel. Samuel cried for Saul, his friend. And God said to Samuel, how long are you going to cry for Saul? I have rejected him. And there will be a lot of people crying for people they know, my brother and sister. And God will say, how long are you going to cry for these people? I have rejected them already. They're in the lake of fire. Hallelujah. But he'll minister to you. He'll wipe away your tears. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God shall wipe away the tear from their eyes. And there should be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither there should be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. When I talk about pain, and I said to those people that have been in pain most of their life, hallelujah. And a man in his 80s says to me, I was talking to him, how do you feel? And he says, oh, I was telling him that something was hurting me. Oh, he said, don't tell me about pain. Pain have been my sister for too long, he says. He was trying to be funny with me. Praise you, Lord. The pain was his sister for too long. And a lot of people can testify that. They can say, amen, brother. Pain has been with them for a long time. God said, there will be no pain. If you want to look forward to having a glorified body, then he's about to glorify your body into 3 days of darkness. Right now, you should be fasting. You should be repenting. There's nothing that should be more important to you right now than your relationship with the Lord. Getting ready for his return. Changes your body into a heavenly body, no more pain. Some of you may say, that sounds so awesome, Brother Elvie. I really like that. No more pain. No more pain, God says, in his promise, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's not that you will not cry. It's not that you will not cry. People misunderstand that. Oh, in heaven, no crying. That's not what the Bible says. God says that he's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. Will there be tears? Yes. But God's going to wipe them away from you. Don't worry, my child. He'll wipe them away. Praise the Lord. Fear not. No more death. See, the Bible said that there will be no more. death is going to the lake of fire. Death is the last enemy, the Bible says. It's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. My brothers, my sister, no more death. Neither sorrow. Hallelujah. What's going to happen with sorrow? Hallelujah. You're not going to be walking up and down full of sorrow. A lot of people walk this way, full of sorrow. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. No regret. No like, oh, I should have done this or that. None of that. You're going to have it from God. No more sorrow. No crying. I was in the presence of Father one time in heaven, in one of the rapture revelation. His presence was so powerful on me. As I went into the chamber, and I changed my clothing to go into the wedding, I remember, in my glorified body in that experience, as I was walking down the hallway between the chambers, presence of Father was so strong, it was penetrating my being from all sides, top, bottom, side, right, left, penetrating me 100% or more, or 1,000,000% or 1,000,000,000, I don't know how to describe it. So that's how it is in heaven. That's normal in heaven. You're full of you are in his presence. Like, look at it this way. It's like you walking in the bottom of the sea. In the bottom of the sea, the pressure alone can kill you. It can kill you. The pressure alone can kill you in the bottom of the sea. Can you imagine walking in heaven in God with so much power that if you were in the bottom of the sea, you would have been dead. Because it's greater power than that. He's almighty. More power than the sea. My brother and sister. And I was like, you want to stop there and let it all go through you. Because it's just normal. It's normal to be in the middle of so much power. I'll give you another close explanation. Just tiny close explanation. Like being in the middle of the sun right now. If you can stand there and let all that heat go through all your body, but not burn you, just go through all of you. That's how it's being in the presence of Father. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. And I remember just wanted to close my eyes. But even when I close my eyes, the presence, everything, it's like, why close your eyes? Because it's like saying myself in an open. And I was there and the presence was so powerful. Did I enjoy that? I knew I wanted to be there for eternity in his presence, and nobody bothered me to come out of that. Thank you, Lord. That's why when Jesus had told me in heaven, you got to go back, my son. No, Lord, please. I want to stay here. You'll be here, my son, but you got to go temporarily. Go back. Tell him about this place, he says to me. Tell him about this place. Tell him about the things I have prepared for them. Yes, Lord, bow my head, crying like a baby. There's no disobedience in heaven. My brother and sister. But he wants me to tell you about heaven. Oh, how can it be described? My brother and sister. Because I just want to be there. And if I think about it, I'll cry myself. Because I just want to be there. No sorrow, no crying, neither there should be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. The things that brought you pain, sorrow, and all these things are no more. Okay? And God's going to make sure this is the way it is. All these things that cause people pain, sorrow, and all of that are no more. No migraine headaches. Like the people back in Genesis, they didn't know about headaches. They don't know about migraine headaches. They didn't know about the stuff. If you mention that, they'll say to you, what is that? Headaches? What do you mean by that? What is that? These people last close to 1,000 years. You're telling them about a headache. They didn't know what you're talking about. They're six, 700 years of age, and they didn't know about headaches. They didn't know about pain, muscle pain. What is that? I saw one of them. He was about 600 years of age. He looked 30 to me. No pain, nothing. He was walking normal like a 17 or 18 years old. Walking like normal, no problem. He looks like he just came from the field doing the work all day long with no pain, no tiredness, no sore, nothing. It was just, that's almost the normal back in Genesis, or close to Genesis, the generation to Noah. my brother insisted, and still having it so great, they listen to the fallen Nephilim. And look at humanity, my brother insisted, they're now listening to the Nephilim again from their prisons. Those people had it among them and got corrupted and contaminated. These people now, I now see them face to face. I just talking to them through CERN and are paying so close attention to their lies and the thief. Oh, my brother and sister, this generation has surpassed the generations of Noah, because the generations of Noah saw them with their eyes. They live among them. But this generation has not seen all that they saw, and are doing everything these people are telling them. Oh, we'll give you an idea for my sin. Here, do this, do that. Okay. And they're following it blind. Hallelujah. Blind being led by blind. Oh, we're living in difficult time, my brother and sister. But God is merciful. God is merciful. Hallelujah. He is the promise of redeemed from the earth. Revelation 14:3 says, they sing a new song from before the throne, before the four living beings and the elder. No man can learn the song. It says the 140,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Hallelujah. God has a plan to redeem. Hallelujah. Not only 144,000, but other great multitude that John saw, they're going to be redeemed from the earth. My brother and sister, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has mighty plan for his people. This is why obedience is better than sacrifice to him. He doesn't want us to be focused on the fallen, but to be focused on the eternal, my brother and sister, because he has eternal plan for us. Hallelujah. And his eternal plans are in Christ, our Lord, my brother and sister. The only thing is that when this great tribulation began, hallelujah, these people that have rejected God are going to go through the most difficult time of their lives. Why? Because the Nephilim that God locked up, the children are going to be released. And they caused a lot of pain to humanity in the beginning. And for 7 years, they're going to be released. And humanity are going to encounter so much evil on this earth very soon. People are going to change into beasts. Back in 2015, 2016, there was a pastor that visited me. And him and his daughter shared a dream with me. Pastor said to me, Brother Elvie, I want to share a dream I had. I believe God wants me to share this dream with you. And when he said that, he had my complete attention. We sat down. And I said, go ahead, Pastor, share. Pastor said, Brother Elvie, I was with my family in our homes. Our home looks like it was about an acre around. We had a fence around our homes. But my family and I went out of our house into a yard close to our fence. And we were talking to these people that were outside of our fence, and there were thousands of them. And I noticed that, he says, they began to change into beasts. Some of them changing these beasts that look like dogs, which we call a werewolf, and other different type of beasts. But he said, he told his family, let's run into the house. He said, before they began to change, he was preaching to them. He was telling them to repent and come to the Lord and change their life, change their way. But he said, none of these people wanted to listen to him. He also knew that whatever these people was affecting these people, the government has something to do with it. He says to me, I don't know what the government gave these people. He says to me back then, he wasn't sure if they put something in the flu shot that they gave out every year, but he knew it had something to do with a vaccine, he said. He says, I don't know much about it. It's what I understand in my dream, that these people have taken, the government has given them something that had changed them to turn into beasts. And he says, Brother Elvie, hallelujah, I felt that God wants me to share this dream with you back in 2015, 2016. What do you think this ring means? Then I said, well, let me hear what your daughter's dream is. And the daughter began to share her dreams, and it was similar to her father. They were preaching to these people in the community, and they knew that before dawn, they needed to get back home, because somehow people were going to change into beasts because of what they had taken. She didn't know what they had taken, but she knew, she agreed with her father that was something the government has given them, and that they needed to run to their homes before these people began to change into beasts. And they said to me, we believe we have to stay in the Great Tribulation and share God's gospel with these people. I said, Pastor, him and his daughter, I don't know if for you to stay. I don't believe anyone should stay in the Great Tribulation. I said, but God's been showing me this for over 12 years, that people will be changing into beasts. I don't know exactly if it's through the flu. What is it? Hallelujah. But for years, we've been waiting on this thing they were going to offer humanity, like a vaccine that was going to change them. I don't know how it's going to come about. But last time when I heard this, and when I heard this, they said they were going to cause a pandemic and use it as a fear against humanity to get everyone vaccinated. And when this was revealed back in 88, 89, it was also revealed that about the time the pandemic will come and the vaccine, the rapture will be right there coming within the same season. This is the part that stunned me. And even the teacher said, I don't think I'm going to see it. Because, you know, we're not even close to that. He says over 20 years ago, we're not even close to the government getting there and having a pandemic and then implement this vaccine, which will be mandatory for a season. I don't know. We're not even there. I don't, you know, I know the sister and brother has the dream that they will have this vaccine, that it will change people's DNA. But who knows when that is? I heard this about 27 years ago. When I heard about this, my brother and sister, hallelujah. But the key there that I was reminded was that sometime after this mess, the Lord was going to come, bring this revival, change things around, change his people, and get them out of here in the rapture, so that everything will be hand together. My brother and sister, this was 27 years ago that I heard it, and it was said 33 years ago that all these things will be hand to hand, the virus, the vaccine, and the rapture, the 3 days of darkness, the change, all of it will be together, that you don't have to wait years anymore to see these things come out, that they will all be close. My brother and sister, God revealed to these people. Of course, no one knows the day of the rapture. But since the virus began, since the vaccine has been released, I'm excited. I am very excited. Father spoke to me and says, it's over for you. My brother and sister, God has confirmed these things. God has confirmed it's over. I remember back in 2019 when he said he had decided to bring the end of all things, and I share it on the Lord Tower. Then he looked to my eyes, piercing eye, it's over for you. It's over for the bride, my brother and sister. Now he is telling us that the 3 days of darkness are about to happen. Everything these people saw 33 years ago, 34 years ago, now, my brother and sister, the season. The timing. I remember when Jesus said to me a few weeks ago that we had entered the season. We had entered the season. My brother and sister, hallelujah, for the change, he says. I was wondering what he meant by it. He said, we had entered the season for the change. a season, my brother and sister, this is what Jesus rebuked the Pharisee and scribe about. And when people ask, what do you mean, Brother Elvie, the season? Hallelujah. Because the Apostle Paul even tells the church about the season. Hallelujah. I don't need to tell you again. But for the time and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Hallelujah. And I believe this season he's referring to, that many are sleeping in this season when they should be awake now, because everything God has said, God has promised, are about to come to pass. My brother and sister, this is the season, I believe, of the rapture. This is the season of the 3 days of darkness, the revival, the change, and the transformation. That we don't need to look for years ahead. We need to be looking to the Lord for when these things, hallelujah. I'll give you more verses about the season. Psalm 104:19. He appoints the mournful season, the sun knowing his time to go down. What is missing here? The knowing. Because even the sun knows when to go down. My brother and sister, what did Jesus rebuke the Pharisee for? Again, knowing how God have established everything from the beginning, Genesis 1:14, for God said, let there be light in the firmament heaven to divide the day from the night. Let there be for sign and for season, for the day and the years. My brother and sister. Now, look how he first says for the time and season, and then later on he said for the years. In the Hebrew, you will read this years and days. But now we have entered the season. That means that the years and days are less than the season. Years and days are less than the season. But we know it's related to the years and days. Closer to the days and years. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There are also nine seasons. As I said in Psalm 16:7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reign also entrusts me in the nine season. Notice how here the season of the nine is related to the night time. Season nine, my brother and sister. David said, he has given me counsel, instruction, details, hallelujah, advice, direction, guidance. And this season we're in, we're supposed to be seeking the Lord for guidance and direction. I'm praying in this season that the Lord reveal me before the 3 days of darkness so I don't send my children to school. You see, we need to be making preparation. The Lord is leading people also to begin to store up on food, to buy a dry food machine, okay, or a dehydrating machine to dehydrate the food that is cheaper now, like bananas, apples, things like that, and dehydrate them and put them away because they can last for years. Because in the months to come from now, I will say the economy is going to fall. Our economy is going to fall. And whether people are saying it's not going to fall, we need to be listening to the Lord. The economy is going to fall. My brother and sister, I've been listening to experts about economy. And I've been listening to their knowledge about the economy falling. Why do they believe the economy cannot go on anymore? And a lot of the reason is, it doesn't have everything that it had for 100 years. The U.S. economy has been going on for 100 years this way. But everything that it had years ago, it doesn't have it today. My brother and sister, why was the economy 4 years ago? Because it was mostly on credit. Credit, my brother and sister, is like a promise. Hallelujah. I cannot be sustained this way. It's like you having 3 or 4 credit cards. And you purchase your food every day with your credit card. You have purchased your home, you purchase your car, you travel, you take vacation with your credit card. You know that that money is not yours. It belongs to someone else. But this is how our economy has been running. Our economy of 100 years has been running with every other single nation. Every single nation, Colombia, Central America, Mexico, have an input into the U.S. economy. The European country economy has an input in the U.S. economy. But all these country economy are weak. Weak, my brother and sisters. And everybody has been spending on credit. And it's beyond what it should be already. Hallelujah. Bank of America just reported billions of dollars, hundreds of billions, about, I think it's over $200 or $300 billions of dollars in lost already. And other banks, like Citizens Bank and other ones, they are waiting for them to report their lost. My brother and sister, hundreds of billions of dollars in loss in all these different banks. Canada announced this past week they're going to put a 4%, okay, a penalty onto any interest from, let's say, if you're in the United States, you're investing in Canada, they're going to charge you a 4%, okay, for investing in their economy. Why? Because they're broke. The debt is too much. And now the United States and the rest of the world need to find a way to survive. My brother and sister, they need to find a way to survive now because they don't have the money they had. For 100 years, they've been able to survive. Not anymore. And there are even people leaving this country, my brother and sister, because they know this economy cannot withhold. President Putin knows this economy is not going to hold. He knows this. He back up his ruby, his rubble with gold. This economy is not going to stand. And this is why they're taking their times. They know it's not going to hold. And many other countries know the same. My brother and sister. The question is when. Okay? When? On May 4th this year, they're going to meet to discuss this, to put on the American citizen another 4%. My brother and sister, food is going to triple, quadruple after May 4th, they're saying. Okay? May 4th this year. If you have not stocked up on food, as the Lord said, after May 4th, you can be paying 4 times more than what it is now. But only, how many weeks now from May 4th? My brother and sister, we're close. May 4th, remember this, May 4th. Okay? They're going to meet and put another 4% on the American citizens. And Esper has said that if they do that, which it's almost 100% they're going to do it, it's going to hurt many families. They already lost 169,000 jobs in the U.S. From 4%, it's heading to 8% right now on unemployment. My brother and sister. And after they pass this 4% increase on May 4th this year, my brother and sister, unemployment, according to Esper, the number is going to be very high because it's like taking job away from the nation. My brother and sister, I had an audio that I wanted to play to you about the economy. But I didn't want, tonight, I didn't want to speak about nothing so negative that is happening in our nation. I know what the Lord taking me to the millennium yesterday morning was to tell you about what he has for you, his plan that he has for you. Because if you begin to think of the things that are going to happen within a few months, a lot of people will not be able to buy food. Right, right now, it's expensive, and it's about to get too expensive. We were told that food in Massachusetts by our family, they're paying four times the one we're paying right now in North Carolina, my brother and sister, and some of the idol, like meat, stuff like that. In North Carolina, they passed a few weeks ago where no more chicken are going to be reproduced in North Carolina. They're also planning to inject the chickens against coronavirus. Or I believe it's a chicken virus. My brother and sister, which they say will be worse than coronavirus, started in North Carolina in Idaho, I believe is the other state, where they produce most of the chickens. Brother Ben sent me the link, the information. I was listening to this brother who was talking about this, all the things that they're passing and doing. My brother and sister, that is shocking. And although we had chicken, they supposedly people won't be able to buy anymore. Whatever you have, stay, because the next chicken will be vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine. It's what they're planning, my brother and sister. So that means people cannot eat chicken anymore. And I told people, the Lord told me not to eat meat years ago. People won't be able to eat beef or chicken very soon. Chicken especially. I don't know how soon they come for the beef, my brother and sister. It's all happening quickly. Again, not today. We might bring this on Tuesday night. I'll bring you the audio on Tuesday night. And another audio that confirmed the audio from this former CDC director. Okay? He just spoke a few days ago, and the brother unloaded that. And I will stand with what he said, okay? The proof is there. I'm going to show it to you on Tuesday night. I'll bring the audio. I wanted to keep that out today so we can stay focused on Jesus and what he's bringing for us for the millennium very soon after the seven-year great tribulation. God wants us to stay focused on him because the days ahead of us are very troubling to a lot of people, a lot of families, when they will have to pay four times more for food very, very soon. It's not going to be easy. But our God is with us, my brother and sister. Psalm 104:19, he appointed the moon for the season, and the sun knows it's time to go down. Hallelujah. Daniel 2:21, he changes the time and season. He removed king and set it up king. He gave wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. My brother and sister, we need to be seeking understanding, knowledge from God. You need to know this. You know, Paul says to the brothers and sisters, we're in the knowing business, okay? And you need to know the time and the season. A lot of people don't realize how close everything is. And the problem when something gets you by surprise is, how much can it hurt you if you're not ready? So you need to have your total trust in the Lord, seeking the Lord, repenting every day, that the Lord will keep you, the Lord will protect you, the Lord will deliver you. Hallelujah. And whatever days and months we have left, my brother and sister, it's only testing and trial for us unto the world hungry and nakedness is coming. That's what that is. To us, it's only testing and trial. Don't compare yourself with the world. Because God is going to supply to his own. He's going to keep his own. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Matthew 21:41. Then say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will lay out his vineyard unto the husbandmen. Who shall render him the fruit in the season? He's going to render us food in the season. What season? When things are the worst. When he is destroying the wicked. And that's also pertaining to the 3 days of darkness. My brothers, that's Matthew 24:41. Okay? He will miserably destroy those wicked men. and will let out his vineyard unto the other husbandmen. He shall render him the fruit of the season. The fruit of the season is for his people. The wicked will get destroyed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, God, who has all power, has been the one who has chosen the season when he's going to do these things. Act 1:7. He said unto him, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power. My brother insisted. In his own power, because God has all power. And we are under his protection. Under the mighty hand of the Lord's protection. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And then he said, John, Acts 14:17, which this is what the church will do after the 3 days of darkness. Nevertheless, he will let not himself without witness, as he did good, and gave us a rain for the heaven for a fruitful season, filling our heart with food and gladness. Here it is. We are going to have food, and we're going to rejoice in him, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. But he gave us rain from heaven. Remember, in the last rain, he's sending us out. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Act 20:18. And when they had come to him, he said unto them, do you know from the first day I came unto Asia, in what manner I've been with you in all season? The apostle Paul never let them know that his need. Even when he came to them and they were supporting his ministry, he never let them know if he was broke, if he didn't have money to pay his bills. My brother and sister, he trusted in God to provide, because he was teaching them even when his own example. Even when his own example. We need to teach even when our own example. My brother and sister, we don't go around telling people, oh, I had no money. Oh, I had no clothes. No, we trust in the Lord to provide to us. Hallelujah. And we proclaim that and we declare it so people can learn to do the same. Hallelujah. And the Lord is faithful. He is faithful. He provided us. But we must give testimony. Hallelujah. So Paul said, after the time and season, brother, ye have no need that I write unto you. Okay? Why? For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Okay? In other words, no one knows when the Lord is coming. No one knows the day and the hour. This is what he says perfectly. Perfectly, because the Lord has spoken and he's perfect. My brother and sister. The Lord said yes. And so when they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as a travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. There's no way that the wicked world will end today around us and about us and around the world can escape the judgment that is coming. There's no way possible. The Bible says, hallelujah, they shall not escape. They will not escape. Show is a command. God command that they will not escape. There's no way possible they can build through SpaceX ship that they can go to other planets. Still, God said they will not escape. So forget about all these people that are going to space and doing this, doing that. They will not escape. God said they will not escape. Sudden destruction will come upon them. Okay? They will not see it coming because it's sudden. That's also nuclear weapons, my brother and sister. Sister Barbara put out a word about U.S. enemy getting ready to launch their bomb here. That is a fact that this is going to happen. I told you about this. Everything they're saying and planning and sending against Russia, Russia will use that. So when he destroys them, he can say, didn't they send weapon into Ukraine? Didn't they send this and that into Ukraine? Okay? They're going to use all that against them. Every video, every movie, everything they said against them, they're going to make an accusation later on after they destroy them in front of the nations. My brother insisted. It's not good. It's just not good what these people are doing. It is not good. And it's not going to end up well. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I tell the people, if you know Russia is going, to be standing, okay, read Ezekiel 38 and 39. Because I tell you that Russia and China are standing very strong with the army. Very strong with the army. So not a nuclear weapon from the U.S., German, and none of these countries will destroy them. None of them will. They already have an answer for that. The southern part where Russia is, they have an oxygen bomb that they can launch on a country, and it'll take the oxygen away for several days from the city and leave you without oxygen. You'll be breathing in pain. You'll be trying to breathe in pain, my brother and sister. Hydrogen bomb and oxygen bomb. Okay, communication bomb that takes all communication for days out of the year. Cell phones, any type of communication will be gone. My brother and sister. Tsunami bomb. They have make a tsunami bomb that will not harm the fish or the bird, and will bring hundreds and thousands of feet tsunami into any country. They also have earthquake bomb that they have developed for over a year and tested it too. And they perform very well. All these bombs perform 100%. They tested them, my brother and sister. They can cause any earthquake to any state, any country, undetectable, at any scale they want, my brother and sister. Now, God allowed all this. And there is a prophecy from the 70s that God said that he was preparing Russia to punish the nations, my brother and sister, through Bob Jung, if you never heard about him, my brother and sister. So a lot of people know that this was coming since the 70s. They were just wondering when. And everything is when God says so. So at one time I said, Russia, and the Lord, no. It's God's punishment. So it's not for us to give Russia no credit, nothing. It's God who's bringing this judgment upon the nation. God knew they would turn against him and be unfaithful to him. And he is punishing the wicked. That's it. So Russia doesn't get any credit, neither China. God is bringing the destruction. My brother and sister, the things with that is we want to be ready with God, regardless of what is coming, because destruction is coming. The Lord spoke it to Sister Barbara. I believe I got the audio. I'm going to play it. My brother and sister, this destruction is coming, and it won't delay not anymore, because God said this is the end. So these things are right among us, practically, my brother and sister. And there's no time to sleep or backsliding. There's no time for that, for to be sinning willingly. None of this nonsense. There's only time for us to commit our life to the Lord and to ask him to help us, my brother and sister, and I walk with him. Because I walk with him is daily and it's difficult with all the things happening, my brother and sister. If we get sick, we got to cry out to him to heal us. Anything that happens to us, we go to the Lord. We call up unto the Lord. We ask the Lord for help. And he is justful and merciful that will help us. My brother and sister, he wants us to trust in him only and nothing else and nobody else. So remember, Tuesday night, I'll be back. And I'm going to be talking about more about these things than tonight. I don't want to talk about nothing negative, my brother and sister, because we are about to get a new heaven and a new earth, my brother and sister, where the old, the Bible says, have passed away, and it will not even come to memory, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. This is what we need to look for. Being with God. Spending time with him, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. He doesn't want us to be looking for nothing else than spending time with him. Hallelujah. And prayer, and fasting and the word, my brother and sister, him being first, though, him being first, no matter what we see down here, we don't let it worry us or concern us to the point where it takes your focus then praying and fasting and seeking the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to this audio.
Welcome to Know the Truth, a Christian faith program dedicated to bringing biblical truths that is able to save your soul. It's understanding that God wants us all to be saved. In doing so, we know that in God's life, in us, He wants us to turn our eyes upon the true and living God. A lot of times we say, how do we do this? We do this by reading His Word. We come to His Word, and His Word directs us, and our eyes are open to who He is, what He wants us to know through His Word, how we are saved through His Word. Everything is through His Word, what He did, His directions, and everything that He has for us. So in today's message, God will extend His mercy as you see through His Word, even though He brought destruction upon those who have sinned. So let us pray. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, O God, help us in this walk. Lord God, it is our prayer that you save your people. That Lord God Almighty, you touch their hearts. Lord, even if it's by a great revival that you poured your Spirit upon all flesh, and you bring them to the understanding of who you are. Lord God, you ask us to stand in the gap and intercede, and we're doing that for our families, for nations of the world, as many are praying in these times of distress. Father, we thank you. Anoint me to bring this word that it will touch the hearts of all. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. At the time of Noah, God brought about a flood because his heart was grieved with the sins of the people. And he said, God will not strive with man forever. The Lord said, my spirit will not strive with man, that he is also flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. But it grieved God at that time, and it repented his heart that he had created man on the earth because they were sinning so much. We have the same situation today. Man's sin has come before God, is piled up straight into heaven, to the clouds. And God is looking down and looking at the hearts of men and seeing that sin is taking them away and putting them straight into the mouth of hell. And no one is taking any heed of his voice. He is speaking through many people throughout the world. He has his people who are bringing messages that's supposed to be touching the hearts of people. But everyone is not listening. Everyone is not obeying. And God wants more people, and He's patient because He's a merciful God. And He wants people to be saved. But when we grieve the heart of God, and we grieve the heart of the Holy Spirit for those who are saved and are starting to backslide, imagine how it feels in God's heart. But as I say, God is merciful, and He always gives us evidence that He is there for us. He wants to show us signs and miracles and wonders so that when we turn to Him, He will always give evidence that we can hold to. We always have a testimony. I want to go to Kings, and I believe it's in 2 Kings, where the children of Samaria had sinned, and they were besieged by Syria. They had siege walls built, mounds built around them, and they were starving. It was so bad that even the prophet at that time, Elisha, he was the prophet of the time that was bringing the word from God that people should be listening by his actions and what he was doing as he depicts the heart of God by what he does. At that time, he was doing various miracles. He even cured Naaman, the leper, when he asked him to go into the Jordan and dip 7 times. He was leprous. God is saying to us, when we have sin upon us, that we are leprous. It's like a leper. We are away from God. Everybody pushes us away who is of the kingdom of God. Not physically, but spiritually. I want to take you to 2 Kings 6, and I want you to see what was happening at the time of Elisha and the famine that was in Samaria, from the 24th verse. And it came to pass that after this, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. Imagine the famine was so great that they were eating the donkey's head. And they had to pay a lot for it. And a fourth part of a cap of dung, this is dove's dung, for 5 pieces of silver. They used this as fuel. They used to burn the cow's dung, but since the animals were outside and they were besieged inside the city, they could not get out to that. So the doves were flying, they take the, and they were selling the dung that much. As the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, they cried a woman and said unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." She was crying out because there was a situation where there was one woman that decided with another woman, and listen to this, this is cannibalism was happening, that they were going to boil her child and eat it. And she did. And the next day, when they're supposed to boil the other woman's child, she hid her child. And she was crying out to the king and saying, "What shall we do?" And the king tore his garment and said, it came to pass that when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his garments, he tore it, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth written upon his flesh. When he has sackcloth, he is ready to come before God. He is crying out. But he was in the wrong place. In his heart, he did not know God in the right way. Because he said, "Let God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall not stand on him this day." He was ready to kill Elisha, who was a messenger of God, who was warning them and giving them all that they should have done, and all the prophets before them to follow the truth, but they went after idols. And he wants to kill the person as they did in those days. They killed the prophets that were sent to them. And that's what Jesus was talking about. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who stoned the prophets, kill those who are sent to you. How I want to guard you as a hen guards a chick under her brood, under her wings, but you will not have it so. But until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, then you will know. You have rejected what is right. He said that Elisha sat in the house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man forth unto him, but the messenger came to him. In other words, he came to him, and he said, this evil, Elisha is saying, see the kind of evil this king is trying to do. He's trying to kill me. And you see, listen, the feet of his master is behind him. He's coming. And then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And this is the mercy of the Lord. In the midst of all this wickedness, and in the midst of all of this, God is going to provide. But I want you to see the way he provided, the miracle that God does. And we have to know this, that God is a merciful God in the midst of all of this. He said, tomorrow at this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel. That is cheap. And two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. They just paid 80 pieces of silver for a donkey's head. And now he's saying flour, and now all these things are going to be cheap tomorrow. Then one of the ones who followed the king said, he leaned on the king, and he said, the Lord on whose hand the king leaned on answered the man of God, which is Elisha, and he said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, in other words, he's doubting, and he's saying, what, you think God will open up the windows of heaven and pour this food upon us? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it. Elisha said, you will see it, but you shall not eat thereof. In other words, he's warning him, because you doubted God for what he can do, you will die before this, before you eat it. You will be trampled at the gate when the people rush to get the food. And you will know that these are from God. This is the word of God. And there were four leprous men, and this is how he did his miracle. At entering in the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine in the city, we shall die. And if we shall sit here, we shall die also. Now therefore, let us go to the host of the Syrians, where they are camping. Let's go and see if we can get something and stay alive. We shall live. If they kill us, they kill us, because we're going to die anyway. So let us go. So they rose up in the twilight, and they go unto the camp of the Syrians, and they had come to the uttermost part of the camp. They were on the threshold, on the edge of it. And what happened? Behold, there was no man there. What did God do? For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. These are four leprous men. These are men who are at the brink of dying, of starvation. And they sounded like chariots and noise of horses, even the noise of great hosts. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the kings of the Hittites. This is what the Syrians were saying. They said they paid and hired the Hittites against us, and the kings of the Egyptians is come upon us. Let us run and leave everything. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left all their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp that it was, and fled for their life. God had turned these four lepers walking towards the tent into their believing, because this is what God can do. We cannot at any time doubt God what he can do. In the wilderness, he said, they said to him, when they were coming out of Egypt, the children of Israel, is he able to furnish us with a table in the wilderness? And God says, anything too hard for me? We must trust God, even in these hard times that we're going through, that God is going to provide for us. He has mercy. He will show us his difficult times. He will bring his judgments upon us. He will always, always guide us in the right way, but not without teaching us a lesson. And these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp. And when they went into one tent, they did eat and drink and carry thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came back again and entered another tent and carried thence and went again and hid it. And they said one to another, we do not do well. Think about the hearts of these men. They say, we do not do well. We are not doing the right thing by staying here. We got to let the king know. We have to go back to Samaria and tell them what is happening. That there is food and there is provision, which was fulfilling what the prophet Elisha said, that we will have enough to eat by the morning. Then they left and they went to the king, but they did not believe him. So they sent some men with them. And they went and checked it out and realized that it was true. The king did not trust them because he thought it was some scheme. But when they went, they saw it exactly as they were told by these four lepers. And then they went and they brought it. They took, therefore, two chariots of horses that the king sent with the host, saying, go and see. And they went unto the Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments, vessels of the Syrians that they cast away, and the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents. They took everything that they had, and flour was sold for a shekel. Exactly what the prophet said. And measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. The word that came through the prophet. The word that he wants us to believe and trust in. And the man who had doubted, while they were rushing for this, he trampled upon him and he died. In the fulfillment of what God has said through his prophet, Elisha. God, in ancient mercies, has shown us, through Isaiah the prophet, in Isaiah's old age, he had written the last few books, the few chapters in Isaiah. And in this, the 63rd chapter, from the 7th verse, it is God's mercy upon us as we thank and praise him. He said, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us. We are thanking God for all that he has done for us. Each and every day, God says, before we were formed in our mother's womb, he knew us. Before the foundation of the world, before Jesus decided to even speak this world into being, he knew us. The great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he had bestowed on them according to them his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. His loving kindness is his mercy. And his mercies is all put together that come towards the people of God. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. God wants us to be true and truthful. He wants us to accept his son as Lord and Savior. Without that, we will be under the wrath of God. He said, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. and angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them and bare them and carried them all in the days of old. He's speaking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. As he's speaking now, as he has sent us a Savior, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. Through the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has brought us something that was in the heart of God even before the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God that taken away the sin of the world has come. He has come to this earth in human flesh in order to be the sacrificial lamb on Calvary's cross as a propitiation for our sins through his blood that he shed, that we may have freedom and have life through his death and his resurrection, eternal life. We have to hold to this and continue to trust the Lord and understanding his love, his mercy, his compassion upon us for those who receive him. His hand is still stretched out for those who do not know him, and he's making, as he says, through his word, an effort to continue bringing his word that people may abide, they may listen, they may hold to what he has for us. And what does he have for us? He has a life in heaven. He has a life that he has called us to enjoy. God loves us with a love that we do not understand. It's a love beyond human understanding. It's a love that we cannot even sometimes appreciate as much as we should. But God is saying, through the coming of our Lord and Savior, through his death, we do not have damnation if we receive him. He said, if you will turn from your sin and receive me, I will give you the best that I have for you. So let us do this now. Let us accept him as our Lord and Savior, since his mercy is there when it can be reached. Because if he turn away his eyes away from us, we do not have a chance anymore. There's a window of opportunity, and this is now. So forgive and clean your hearts and come before him. And say this prayer of salvation and mean it with all your heart. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, forgive me for all of my sins. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose on the third day. I believe only through you is eternal life. I believe you are coming again for us. Thank you, Father, for this love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Having said that prayer, a prayer of salvation, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will feel a touch of God in your life. If you say that and mean it with all your heart. If you haven't, listen again on YouTube for this video and ask him to open your heart up. Amen? Receive the healing. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, touch your people and heal them of all sicknesses and diseases. Touch them now, each and every one. Father, in Jesus' name, let them come to the understanding of who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Each and every week, we're here on TDT at 8:30 a.m. and it's repeated at 10:30 p.m. on Sunday night. Every Saturday, we're here. You can go on YouTube and look at Know the Truth, Pastor James. Each episode is there for you to revisit the ones that are gone. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Continue believing him and knowing that he is there for you. His mercy endureth forever. Stay blessed in Jesus' name.
Everyone, welcome to the God Teller 7 End Time Prophecy Channel. Oh, my phone is falling here. I'm Sister Barbara, and thank you for being here today. Today is April 10th, 2022. I'm just trying to get organized here. Now, I have this prophecy to present today. Now, I've been hearing this, I'm going to say over the last several days, and there's a part of the prophecy in here that discusses something like weapons. So I actually know what the weapon is, and I Googled it because it wasn't really clear on it, so I'll tell you that after the prophecy. So join me in the King James Version Bible. I'm going to be in the book of Revelation. Let's start at chapter 18, start at, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. I have the Holy Spirit already. I didn't even get to the prophecy. And has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Or do I want to go further? Yes, we'll do this one because I've said this about 1,000 times. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. All right, there we go. Has the Holy Spirit already? I didn't even say anything. Okay, now today out there, this is true, you might hear tweeting and quacking. Okay, now I got this whole thing this morning. I want to say between maybe 5 and 7. Right, now I'm going to have to scroll on here to make sure I can see it okay. America, your glory days have come to an end. Your enemies are banding together. Soon the kings of the East will move forward with their invasion plans. Right now, they are closely watching the king of the North's progress and noting his mistakes in war. They will not proceed as he has. They will choose weapons that do not destroy Alright, where am I? I missed a spot here. Let's see. That do not destroy the land, for their interest is in your nation's natural resources. The people who survive will be put in labor camps to work for them. You have been warned of the coming wars. America the Beautiful has lost her way and has become a dwelling place for demons and every unclean spirit. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Look what you have done to your children, to your elderly, to the widow and the homeless and the poor. Your rich men live in luxury while others perish in the streets. Your leaders stand back and watch the nation crumble from within. I see idol worship, worship of strange gods, and murder and perversions rampant. I have seen every abomination with my own eyes. You will reap what you have sown. Your days have been numbered. Look at this, the Holy Spirit. Prepare as the seals break, bowls are emptied, and trumpets are blown. Repent and return to me. Whoa. So if you know your Bible, you know right where he's coming from with this prophecy message. Now, in the prophecy, he's talking about the kings of the east, and he's talking about what sort of, he's telling me what sort of weapons that they have planned on using. Now, the weapon he told me, and I had to Google it because I don't remember it from high school, I'll say that, was a neutron bomb. So that's what I looked at. Basically, it doesn't destroy all the property and the buildings and everything. And the sad part is it kills people. That's what the plan is. This is horrible. So, you know, we're at the end here. He can't explain it any simpler. He says it over and over in every prophecy, not just mine. I see other people out there with the gift of prophecy saying the same exact thing, and that's how it should be. Now, if you see somebody out there saying some bizarre thing, not based on pretty much what everybody else with the gift of prophecy is saying, they're not hearing from the Holy Spirit. That's the bottom line, because we should all be in one accord. I know my pastor used to have a joke about everybody coming in a Honda Accord. That was his little joke. So we should all be in one accord. That means saying the same thing. So clearly, what does he say at the end of this? I think he says repent and return. Repent and return to me. So there's your answer on who this is for. It's the unrepentant people still. He's still waiting. He's waiting to the last minute. He's still waiting for those last people to come forward. I say this every time. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in the book of Acts, Acts 2:38. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You must know him. Otherwise, he's going to say that he doesn't know you. You don't want to hear that when you stand before him on Judgment Day. You don't want to be that person doing that. So I say this too. Make sure you have a plan. You see what's going on. You know what they're planning. I should say, you know what our, what does he say? The enemies are banding together. Our enemies, yes. And I have another prophecy that's saying that when all these things start happening, everybody's just going to be looking at us and no one is going to help us. Nope, they don't want to get involved. That's what's happening right now in the, I don't want to even go into it, in politics. That's what's happening right now. Nobody's going to want to be involved. They're just looking out for their own interests. They don't want to be involved. So no one's going to come to our aid. I think that's how the prophecy is, my other one. So have a plan. Have some extra supplies on hand. Have some cash on hand. A different route out of town in case something happens. I said this before. You don't know what disaster or whatever is coming. You want to be prepared for, I'll say be prepared for anything. The unexpected. I think I have expect or be prepared for the unexpected in another one. You need to do this. Get a Bible. Join a Bible study if you're not good at the Bible. And do some research yourself. Know the Bible yourself. Read it front to back. This is imperative that you do this. Time is clicking by. Now, again, I said, if you know your Bible, you know what this is. We're already in the seals right now. Prepare as the seals break. Next comes the bowls. Then comes the trumpets. And I have the Holy Spirit just saying it. You need to know what's going on in the Bible. This is where we're at. The TV, the news, is not going to tell you where you're at. The Bible is. Jesus Christ is going to tell you where you're at. The Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide you. You need this. You need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He gives you discernment. I said this on several videos. This way you can have a, how do I put it? I call it an insight on good and evil. That's what it gave me at 16 when I got it and I didn't know what was happening to me. He'll give you insight. He'll guide your footsteps and order your footsteps and lead and guide you. You need the Holy Spirit with you, giving you discernment, giving you these gifts, giving you, so you know what's going on and what's coming. Right, what else did I want? Before I go off on a tangent, just wanting to thank everyone. Now, Alicia, I feel bad. I forgot to thank you, and it was sitting right here. Thank you for the wonderful book. Thank you so much. So I want to thank everyone that supports the ministry financially so we can help others, and I know it's tough right now, and we're really grateful for those people that help us out. Thanking everyone for the encouraging comments under the videos. Thank you, everyone, for the translations in other languages. What else did I want to mention here before I forget and distracted? I love how I distract myself on what I'm talking about. Thanking everyone. Facebook pages. Now, I usually put the link up there, so please like and follow us there. I'm not adding friends on the regular Facebook page, but you can like and follow on God's Letter 7, End Time Prophecy. Sister Barbara Francis, you can like and follow there. I usually post everything. Now, I did post some additional information on the Facebook pages, so like and follow on them, and please make sure that you're still subscribed or subscribe and hit the notification button so you know when we have a prophecy coming up. Now, what I'll usually do on the Facebook pages if I have time is when I'm hearing things like I did with this neutron bomb, I usually will post it and put it around on the Facebook pages. So if you see things coming up and you're wondering, like, why is she doing this? That's normally why. Because Lord has been having me, I'm going to say over the last few months, maybe even year, before I get the prophecy, he gives me things to look up that I don't know, which is, I think, is awesome how he works. So I'll be sitting here, and then I'll be hearing something like I did with the neutron bomb. I didn't know what that was. I remember it from high school. I had no idea. Didn't remember what was going on with that. So he gives me little bits and pieces of it and has me research it so I know what's coming. So you know what's coming. Okay, so basically he's warning us over and over. The time is up. He's coming back. Jesus is coming back. Get your house in order. Get yourself in order. Let your family know. Get your family in order. And my joke is, put them in the car, have food. They can't escape, and they could talk to them. They won't want to run away if they're eating. You could talk to them about it, whether they like it or not. And I do it, and I don't care. I get golf back, and I don't care. Now, the kids are coming today, and you know we're going to be discussing this prophecy because they were so upset with this war going on. They've never seen anything like it. And I even said, if you're out there and you're a teenager, or I want to even say, young mom or dad, please don't watch the news 24 hours a day. It's too depressing and it will really hurt you. Please turn it off. I did that myself. That's why I don't have TV or cable. I rarely do. I do watch anything. I have a DVD player, and get this, I have, of course, all the church DVDs that everybody's just is like, oh, do we have to watch this? Yeah. So I leave it on there, and it's in the background. You could hear Jeremiah in the temple, or you could hear Jesus of Nazareth. Put it on, let them listen to it in the background. They're still subconsciously, I'm saying, hearing it. Do it. Their life depends on it. This is how urgent this is. All right, am I missing anything? I don't want to go up here, so I think I better sign up here because they're going to be coming shortly for lunch. So God bless you all. We love you guys. Thank you for everything you do. I hope I didn't forget anything. Usually after I'm done here, I remember that I forgot to do something. So just have a blessed and safe day. I'm watching all the rain. It rained like for days here, and the river is up on the sidewalk down there. And I think it's kind of dangerous because if you're not familiar with that little park down there, you could take a step off and not realize you're going to fly right down into the river. They don't even have like little, I don't know what they call them, horses or whatever. So God bless you all. We love you guys. Thank you.
Shalom, shalom, brothers and sisters. It's Pastor Tim. Sorry about the fallen equipment. I want to share the rapture dream that I just had in the past couple days. I shared it with only a couple people and was praying, okay, Lord, you know, when's the time? When do I share this? And I'm always seeking God on when to share because I know that it needs to be appointed and led by Holy Spirit. Especially in these days, so many people, there's all kind of thoughts on the timing of the rapture. And here's the thing I want everyone to know. We are in the final moments of the end of days. Everything that has needed to happen for the rapture has happened. And all signs point toward the bridegroom is about to catch us away. Now, saying that, I don't know whether it's 7 seconds, if I'll get through this video, 7 minutes, 7 months. I don't know what that timing is. We do know that we're at the end. And so I want to share this dream with you. It's important to remember the rapture, when it happens, is about celebrating what has already been happened. And that's the truth of the gospel. We believe in the eternally self-existent God, in the persons of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We believe that God the Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Messiah, left glory, laid down his glory, was born of a virgin, wrapped in flesh, lived a perfect life. He never sinned, and shed his precious blood to pay our sin debt once and for all, past, present, and future. He died for our sins, was buried, conquered hell, death, and the grave, and on the third day rose from the dead. That gospel, the gospel of our salvation, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. John 3:16 summarizes it so beautifully. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm a whosoever. Are you a whosoever? Believe on the Lord Jesus. Admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior and believe. The word for believe is the Greek word pistuo. It means I have faith in, I trust in, I'm firmly persuaded. I believe. When you believe that he is the Christ, the Mashiach, the Messiah, he shed his blood, paying our sin debt once and for all sufficient, and he rose from the dead, boom, the nanosecond, the raptosecond, the zeptosecond, the instant you believe, you are born again and dwelt with Holy Spirit, saved, sealed, and sanctified until the day of redemption, and that day is coming, heaven bound and rapture ready. Hallelujah. Solo fide, faith plus nothing equals salvation and eternal security. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is, you know, one of my favorite passages. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Well, for those who have, you are guaranteed. It doesn't matter how you live. If you have believed on Jesus, he is the Messiah and he rose from the dead. It's a done deal. And so you are rapture ready. So whenever that happens, we're ready. In the meantime, we are not people who fear. We are not people who should be depressed. We put our trust in the Lord. We occupy and redeem the time because time is of the essence. We are that generation, and we are going to see Christ come for his bride. The first time he comes is the rapture of the church. I'm going to be speaking to that on Sunday. And the second time after that, the 7 years later, the first time he comes for love, he's snatching his bride away, and we get to go be with him forever. Hallelujah. The next time he comes, after that 7-year tribulation, he's coming for war, and he will set up his millennial kingdom. Praise God. Well, in the dream, it was really a different kind of dream than I had. I'm going to share the three prevalent dreams I've had on the rapture at the end of my message on Sunday, so you're not going to want to miss that. In this dream, I was at a baseball game, and it was a Phillies game of all teams. You know, locally, I'm a Cardinals fan. I've always been a Yankees fan, but I have, growing up in southern New Jersey, South Jersey, of course, I had gone to Phillies games and that stadium. This was not like that. The stadium, it was really interesting. And as I was dreaming, there was an angel with me. I couldn't see him, but I knew he was an angel. And he was, like, he was by my side. And he was explaining things as I was going through the dream. So I'm at this baseball game, but nobody's playing. And the field was so weird. It had sunken. And it was almost like you'll see hieroglyphics on walls, but it was hardened clay. And they had all these worldly images. I'm like, why? Why? At a baseball game. And why so low? It looked like the ground had actually sunk. And the angel was telling me, because the world's influence, and that's what you're seeing, is the world's influence that drags you down. Well, in the stand, but there was nobody playing. There were no players on the field. The game had ended, basically. Yet, it was still going. I don't even know how to explain it, because the stadium wasn't closed yet, but it was that close. And so there were other people there doing the very same thing I was, but one by one they disappeared. And the crowds had already begun going into this big building that was attached to the stadium. And they were partying, and I mean, rebel rousing. It was just worldly. And I'm going around, and I'm giving these gold, like, medallions out. And it wasn't for anything they did. It was those medallions represented the word that was going forth. And different people, some had smaller medallions, some had bigger. And it was representative, the angel was telling me, of how much of the word they were taking in. But the sad thing that was happening was many were receiving the word, but they weren't believing. They weren't believing. Some thought that they would you know, just work their way to whatever. Others just didn't believe. And many had buried it in the sand. And so other people were doing what I was doing. As the people were being given these medallions, and you had to have a certain amount to be able to get on board. And again, it was not about works. It was a free gift that we were literally trying to give them. And the gift represented the gospel, the word. And I waited actually a couple of days because I got emotional. When I was speaking with, for instance, Sister Rosemary, I could barely get through telling her what had happened. And a dear brother, Brother John, same thing. That day I tried to tell them and I just got emotional because I was trying to give the word to people and they weren't responding. They weren't believing on Jesus. And I knew when they were burying those medallions, they needed so much to get on board. And basically it was like, you know, this was it. This was it. And so I go, one by one, I see the other people giving it out and they're like, okay, it's time to go. And they were leaving and suddenly everybody had left and I was the only one left and I'm grabbing up these medallions because my heart's breaking that these people are basically tossing away the very thing that would save them. And so I'm gathering up all these things and I go into this place and it was so, it was like she was an angel, the woman serving, and it was at like a food bar. And she looked at me and said, Tim, it's time to get on board. And I'm saying, but, you know, I'm running frantically. I'm trying to get to people, and they're not paying attention to me. They're going in the wrong direction, and I'm trying to give them these medallions. I'm trying to give them more. And at one point, I had all these medallions, and I wanted them, you know, it was like, anybody, will anybody take this? Will anybody take it? And all the people who had gone before me, I saw them all. They went up this beautiful, like I could barely see, but light was emanating, this flight of stairs. And as they were, as they began to step up, angels, like, it was like beautiful angels, just the brilliance, the white was gathering them up. And whew, they were going. They were boarding. And I knew it represented the rapture of the church. The angel was telling me, you've got to go now. And I remember just, I was weeping. As I was weeping, I was drenched with tears. And even waking up, I was drenched with tears. Because the heart of God is that people will get born again, that they'll be saved. And if you're watching this and you don't believe, I've done a video, Faith Plus Nothing Equals Salvation and Eternal Security. Please, I implore you, check that out. Check out other people. Speak about the grace of God. Because God loves you so fiercely and passionately. And time is of the essence. It's like last call, triage time. Whether that means 7 minutes or 2 years. I don't know. I don't know. But I will tell you, and we have to occupy and redeem the time. And even I knew, like, it was like I was moving forward in the dream and they had all gone. I was like the last one standing there. And I just wept. Because that's the heart of God. And so then and even today, I you know, witnessing to a couple people, I feel like we're in a time right now where people, you're sharing the gospel, and don't be bashful in sharing the gospel. It is so critical. And there are people, I don't see like that gray anymore. I'll think about it. It's like they either receive it, or there's a complete rejection. It's like, no. And, oh, man. So I finally go, and I'm starting up in the, oh, I'm going to tell you what happened, though. The moment I was surrounded by the angels, everything, all pain, all sorrow, tears dried up, the weeping, the joy, the peace, the love that overwhelmed me, and the brilliance, the light, and the how quick I knew in the twinkling of an eye, everything will change. So whatever you're going through right now, listen, brothers and sisters, as the word of God says, count it all joy. Look, we can rejoice because whatever we're going through right now, this is fleeting. I mean, it is fleeting. And when that moment happened, there was such joy. I don't even have words to describe how glorious it is. And it will be that quick. And that dream just left me with the urgency for us to boldly share the gospel right now. It is so urgent, not only because we are clearly, and we are, I don't care what anyone says, we are in the final moments of the end of days. Everything is pointing to, I mean, prophecies jumping off the pages of the Bible. Our bridegroom, God said it. It's truth. You can take it to the bank. He's coming. He is coming to snatch, to catch, harpazo, rapture, his bride away. And it is going to be so instant. And I'm telling you, at that moment, like there's nothing left there. Praise God. But right now, boldly share the gospel because time is of the essence. And we're not guaranteed our next breath. In the next 60 seconds, 105 people will die. They will breathe their last breath and go into the rest of eternity. And where will their destination be? I don't know about you. There is no one. And the heart of God as believers, we should be looking through the eyes of Christ. In fact, as believers, we are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Don't we want to grow that family in these final moments? What's more important than people being born again, than believing on Jesus? There is nothing more important than that. That should be the driving factor. And we should be sharing, cooperate with Holy Spirit. I know not everyone can do everything. Listen, I've got my tickets booked. I'm going to South Africa back in October at Autumn Prayer. God was so clear to me I was going to go there. No, I have not complied, and I'm still going there. I do need your prayers. Thank you to all who pray and support. I'm going. I really believe. And I believe, you know, that I'll get the chance to do that, but we're not even guaranteed that. I just know I want to be obedient and cooperate with Holy Spirit. I'm already saved. That doesn't keep me saved or make me saved. There's no requirement after that. I have believed. Boom. Done deal, heaven bound and rapture ready. But I want to honor God and be used by him in these final moments, and all the glory to God. We can do nothing apart from Holy Spirit. In fact, anything we try to do, even in Christian service or the church or whatever, that's apart from faith and cooperating with Holy Spirit is a dead work of the flesh. It really is. And I'll go over that. That will be one of the dreams that I cover on Sunday. But I want you to know Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Did you hear me? Jesus is coming, and it is momentary, and it is glorious. I don't know about you, but I am so excited that we are going to be with our bridegroom forever. Hallelujah. So praise God that you have believed on the Lord Jesus. You believe he's the Messiah. He shed his blood to pay your sin debt once and for all, past, present, and future. He died, was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. That's it. You're guaranteed. You're sealed by Holy Spirit of promise. You are rapture ready and heaven bound. Now, let's increase this family in Christ. And we can't do it. We know it's Holy Spirit, but pray. You know, be renewed in your mind, know your identity in Christ, and be washed in the purity of the truth of God's word. And know this, God loves you fiercely and passionately. And I'm going to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I love you all too. I truly do. And I look forward to one day spending the rest of eternity with this company of believers. God is so good. He's absolutely good and so faithful. Remember that greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead abides in you. You have resurrection power in you. For all I know, this could be the last time I could give you the blessing. So I want to give you the blessing in the Pastor Tim fashion. I believe Holy Spirit led me to do it that way years ago. And I firmly believe the Lord said to Aaron, when you say this blessing on them, you place my name on them. I believe, and it's all the Lord, all the glory to God. When I say this blessing on you, if you'll receive it, I believe you will be blessed. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May his countenance be lifted on you and his shalom, his peace, perfect, whole, complete, nothing lacking, nothing missing, be yours in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus Messiah. I pray and I bless you. Amen. Shalom, shalom, brothers and sisters, and have an awesome rest of your day.
The day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad. at your word.
For Ptolemy,
even when I don't feel
you reached
you
and
working,
so wrong,
you never stop. You never stop
promesa, luz en tinieblas, mi Dios.